Just before the news, we heard and discussed that resilience to maintain well-being didn't mean toughen up. And this morning we're going to hear a little bit more about the well-being, and in a discussion that not only I had with Pauline, but also with sleep specialist Amy Reynolds, and also Pip Baker, who's mental health first aid officer and facilitator with the Where There's a Will campaign. And the discussion continues on the importance of sleep and well-being.
Talking about how important it is for us to get our needed sleep for our well-being. I know for myself, when I was a young mother and sleep deprivation was part of it, your ability to cope gets very vastly shortened. And it's the same with anybody that is having difficulty getting that requisite sleep in. They can find themselves getting overwhelmed. And it is really important that we value how much sleep we get each night.
There are those, and we've heard where some of these people talk about sleep, how much they need, and sometimes they'll say, I only need 5 hours sleep. I can do that. I've been doing it for a long time.
Look, mostly we think people need a little bit longer to function at their best. So I think what we often hear is people saying they can get by on less, and there was an article this week about what they called the sleepless elite. And the message that we have there is, you might be okay to keep going, you might be okay to do your daily activities, but you may not be at your best, and it may not be the best option for your mental well-being as well.
So your well-being, of course, will suffer, even though you could just take your daily tasks and get through them. So what are the recommendations here then, and the benefits of having that longer period?
Yeah, so the National Sleep Foundation gives a 7 to 9 hour window, but what we encourage people to think about here is what they need and what makes them feel good, because we're quite good at working that out when we have the opportunity to get enough sleep. So things like, if you can wake up without an alarm, if you can wake up naturally in the morning, that can be a good indicator that you're getting enough sleep. If you're waking up feeling really groggy and really low for long periods in the morning, that's a really good indicator that you're maybe not getting enough sleep the night before or on a regular basis.
So it will drag you down quite quickly then if you've had so many hours for so many days, or not many hours for so many days.
Yeah, we do. So changes in mood are one of the first kind of signs we see that people aren't getting enough sleep. And they're probably the ones that your family will tell you they notice first too. You might have a shorter fuse, you might be a bit snappier. Perhaps you're less your happy self to be with if you haven't had enough sleep. So there's some of the early signs we see of people not having enough sleep, for sure.
Pip, you mentioned how sleep deprivation, and you suffered from that at some stage there. So you can see this as a common cause in well-being?
It can be. What I'd be really keen to hear from you, Amy, is some tips for our listeners on how to get that optimal time with regards to sleeping and establishing bed routines and acknowledging a weary brain can find oneself getting quite overwhelmed quickly. So some tips at bedtime, prior to bedtime, anything like that, Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the important messages that's coming out at the moment is that it's not just about that number of hours that you're in bed, but it's also about how consistent you are with when you're sleeping. So trying to have, it's like we tell new parents with children, we try and establish a routine, but that's actually really important for us as adults as well, because a lot of the hormones in our bodies rely on doing activities at certain times of the day. So if we keep that consistent, we're giving our bodies that message that it's time for sleep at a regular time and giving that time to sleep. Another one is making sure that we're keeping technology like phones and tablets out of the bedroom wherever possible. So obviously this isn't as easy for people who need to be on call or responding to their phone, perhaps if they're emergency responders, but if you don't need a phone in your bedroom, keep it out. You know, leave that bedroom just for sleep so that your body doesn't get any extra messages about being awake.
And tips with social media and things like that before bedtime?
Yeah, so we have seen some really strong associations, particularly in adolescents and teenagers, between social media use and really poor sleep. And that's because we think what's going on is they're thinking over a lot of these things. There's conversations that are perhaps happening when they're tired, so their ability to regulate and think about the content is affected too. And that does seem to disrupt sleep. So putting away the social media, give your body time to unwind the way we used to before we had that 24-hour-a-day access to technology.
But it's also about managing that of the younger person too. We can probably manage that social media looking at our phones on a regular basis, but it's the younger ones that are doing it, even behind the closed bedroom door without mum and dad knowing all of that.
Absolutely, and that's where sort of setting some boundaries about phone use in the bedroom. And it's a hard juggle because there is a benefit for young people. It does seem to make them feel more connected with their peers. It's not all bad. But we do have to draw a line somewhere, and that's so important for well-being, especially in those developmental years too.
One thing that I do in my home is I actually turn off the Wi-Fi at 9 p.m.
So, strategy.
Yeah, because I have three children and, you know, they do lose time.
I think about what Pauline was saying about I love but I don't have time. And I think most people could say I love to sleep but I don't have time. And, you know, there's the kind of illusion that when you're in bed, everything switches off and nothing's happening. But so much is happening in our brains that we need to happen when we're sleeping. It's good for our cognitive function. It's good for our memory. You know, we need that sleep. So that is actually an engagement activity that people could be focusing on too.
Amy Reynolds, our sleep specialist, and Pip Baker, who's the mental health first aid facilitator with Where There's a Will, and Pauline Carrigan, the founder, Before the News.